You are listening to the Fresh Approach Weight Loss Surgery Podcast with me, your coach, Mary Clark, 17-year bariatric surgery educator and advocate, and for the last 7 years, a weight loss surgery patient. Here, we focus on the bariatric surgery guidelines in a fresh way, creating successful and peaceful weight loss surgery journeys. Stop trying to fit your life into weight loss surgery. It's the other way around. Weight loss surgery is a part of your life. So whether you're just getting ready for surgery or had it 6 months or 6 years ago, it's never too early or too late to live your healthiest and happiest life with weight loss surgery. Welcome back. Today, we're talking about what I hear from so many people, which is, how do I get my motivation back? How do I stay motivated? When I ask people what they really want help with in terms of their weight loss surgery journeys, it's how to deal with the bumps in the road, how to deal with those things that get in the way of your best laid plans, right? How to follow through with an action you planned for, how to stop doing an action you didn't plan for. And there are so many ways to do this. There really are. And we're going to discuss one of them today in the Bumps in the Road series. And let me explain how we're going to do this. I can only imagine that you love heartwarming stories as much as I do. And as somebody who does a really great job with those stories is Ellen. So the other day, I'm watching a video, I'm on Facebook, and I see a video of Ellen, and she's giving a young woman a check, right? You've seen this before on Ellen. A very deserving person comes on the show, she shares their story, you know, flash to the people in the audience, completely moved. The person who's sitting with Ellen is really just happy to be sitting with Ellen, even though they most likely know what's coming, right? And so one of Ellen's, one of her people, you know, runs out from backstage, brings out one of those huge cardboard checks, and Ellen hands it to her, and she starts to cry. And it happens every time. That person, it's not like they're almost jumping up and down. They're just, you know, their hands cover their face, and there's so much emotion. So when you think about that, when you think about the emotion, she's handing them this huge cardboard check that's not worth anything, right? It's what it symbolizes. Because it's not just the numbers on the check that are making that person cry. It's what they know or what they envision that money can do in their lives or in the lives of the kids at the school, if it's for a school, or in the community center, or the hospital, or whatever it is that Ellen's giving them the money for, they're just picturing what a difference that would make in the lives of those people. So let me ask you something. What's your magic number on the scale? Your ideal body weight? What's your magic clothing size? Your ideal clothing size? Do you have those numbers? The number you want to see on the scale, that ideal weight, and your ideal clothing size. All right, now hold on to that. Now imagine you are on Ellen. Come on, come with me on this. You are on Ellen, and you're sitting there, and she's just gone through your story, your long, hard struggles with obesity, everything you had to go through to have weight loss surgery. Wait, before that, she's like, when she's talking about the struggles with obesity, it's every diet, every setback, every challenge you've had in your life. And then you finally came to have weight loss surgery. And there were so many hoops and the insurance and your family. And then you had it. And it was awesome. And it was amazing. And you worked so hard. And things were good. And then they weren't. And life happened. And this is all like on a video story, right? And you started to regain weight. And now you've put on 40 pounds over the last 2 years and you feel horrible. But you are so deserving, just like the people that she gives the money to, you are so deserving to have your ideal weight and your clothing size be yours. And guess what? One of those people from Ellen, the Ellen Show, runs out on stage and hands you that huge piece of cardboard, and it has the date, and it has your name, and it has the exact number of pounds that you want to weigh, your ideal weight, and your ideal clothing size, and it's yours. Just stick with me. Hold on. Yeah, I know we wish it was that easy, but just hold on. I've got a point here. So remember, just like the people, when Ellen hands them that huge heart cardboard check, it's not the numbers on it. It's what that symbolizes. It's what they know that that money can do in their lives, or the lives of the people they're trying to help, right? So now imagine that you have that. You have this, because they don't have the money yet either, all right? You've got that huge piece of cardboard and it says, fine, this size, you've got it. This weight, you've got it, okay? You can have this. Now, let me tell you again why we're doing this. When I hear from someone that they want to lose their 40 pounds or regain, or they finally want to get off their plateau and lose the last 25 to get to goal weight, I always have the same question. So tell me how your life will be different once you do that. What would a day in your life look like without the 40 pounds? And they're sort of stumped. I hear things like, I just have to get it off. I can't believe I regained this much, or my cholesterol's gone up, or my A1C has gone up, or I had to buy new clothes. I can't afford any more new clothes. This is ridiculous. I have to lose the weight because I feel like a failure. And then I ask them, so have these reasons been enough to work so far? No, they haven't. You've got to work on intrinsic motivation and have a big enough why. And I talk about why a lot, but this is another way to get to it, or to feel those emotions or physical sensations of the why. It's about what you'll be able to do with those numbers. All right, so stay with me now. Feel yourself at that ideal weight. If you were at that ideal weight, if you've regained that weight, or if you've been that weight before, it might be a little easier for you to do this. But if you haven't been, if this is a weight that you've never been, well, obviously we've been at one point, we've passed it up, but that you haven't been in some time, just imagine what that would feel like, okay? That number on the scale and that clothing size, okay? Even imagine what you'd be wearing. Notice the feelings you're having, the emotions, the physical sensations. And now picture yourself waking up in the morning and you are at that ideal weight and clothing size. So how are you going about your morning differently than you do now? What are your plans for the day? Are they different than they are now? What would be different at work when you're at your ideal weight? Do you have more confidence, more energy? Fantastic. So what are you doing with your increased confidence and energy? What about the other things in your day? When you're running around doing errands, you're taking care of your family, you're with your friends, you're doing great things in your community. How are these things different than they are now? How will these things be better? One would imagine better, right? At your ideal weight and clothing size, is that the point? How will they be better? Here's another question. What are you planning for the week that you said you couldn't do at the weight you were, like with the extra 40 pounds, or wouldn't do because of your weight or size, since you're at your perfect weight now? What's on your bucket list? How about relationships? Relationships with coworkers, with your kids, your adult kids, your parents, your spouse, your partner? How are your relationships because of your ideal weight and ideal clothing size? Since we're looking at doing healthy eating, consistent exercise, daily vitamins, staying hydrated, getting enough sleep every night, following up with our doctors, and caring for our mental health for the rest of our lives, we've got to equate our daily actions of taking care of ourselves with what those actions really mean in our daily lives. So we have all of these things we need to do to take care of ourselves, and make no mistake, it's a lot. I get it. It is a lot to plan and follow through on. So why do we want to follow through on all that? So let me take you through this series of questions. When you're at your healthiest weight, does that mean, possibly, follow with me on this, you don't have joint pain and you can walk with ease? And if these questions I'm asking don't fit your particular situation exactly, adjust it for yourself, but stay with me, okay? And when you don't have joint pain and you can walk with ease, does that mean you can get from the parking lot to your office in a shorter amount of time? And without pausing to take a breath, or without that pain, or without the negative self-talk, bashing yourself for not exercising or eating well or gaining all this weight. Okay, so without all that, when you get to your office without the negative self-talk, without the pain in your knees, without being out of breath, without, you know, having a rough time just getting from the parking lot to your office, how do you treat your coworkers? Maybe you're more willing to hear their ideas. Maybe it's a more pleasant entry into the day. And when you're thinking throughout your morning about, wow, I really did a great job at the gym last night, and I met some great people, and I felt really good after, and I really enjoyed that new chicken recipe that I had last night that I planned for and then I made. And when you feel good about how well you're taking care of yourself, how does that affect your confidence? And with that confidence, is it likely that you'll share maybe that new idea, that innovative idea that you've come up with the rest of your team? And when you've had a great morning at work and your coworkers invite you to join them for pizza in the break room at lunch, how likely is it that you tell them that you'd love to join them in the break room, hang out with them at lunch, but you packed a super healthy meal and you're going to bring that with you, but still enjoy their company? And when you step into the break room later that afternoon to fill up your water bottle and you see leftover birthday cake sitting in the middle of the table, how likely is it that you'll have some of that cake? Or will you simply fill up your water bottle, feel good, and head back out to finish up your day? And when you've made really healthy choices for yourself all day, physically, emotionally, mentally, how likely is it that you'll keep your plans to meet your walking buddy at the park for your Thursday evening 3-mile walk? And maybe while you and your buddy friend, your walking buddy friend, are doing your 3-mile walk, you'll continue talking about your plans for that hiking weekend getaway in the mountains. You know, the one you could have never imagined yourself planning a year ago, when you were so frustrated and upset with yourself about that 40-pound regain. And after a great walk and making plans for your weekend getaway, you get home and you're feeling so good about your day and yourself and all the choices you've made and the life that you're living. And you have the physical and emotional energy to listen to your spouse's or your child's or your friend's challenging day, and you have the capacity, the bandwidth to offer them your love and support because of how well you're taking care of yourself. And when you head to bed that night, when you spend a few minutes, as I hope everybody does, reflecting on and assessing your day, your gratitude, it's off the charts. Because when Ellen hands that uncashable, huge cardboard check to her guest, it's not simply the number that makes them start to cry. It's what that number means for their lives or the lives of the people they love, how they will change, the good that they'll do for their families or their communities with that money, right? So what good will you do with those numbers on that cardboard check, those numbers that you want so badly, the ideal weight, the ideal clothing size? What good are you going to do in your life with those numbers? The point of this exercise is for you to consider, to take in, that it's not enough to just want to or think you have to lose that 15, 25, 40, 70 pounds, whatever it is, because your doctor says to, or there's a chart that says how much you should weigh. Because how many times before surgery were we told how much weight we had to lose or we knew we needed to lose? I was told when I became an insulin dependent diabetic, and it wasn't enough. Well, at least it wasn't enough to keep it off forever, because I did lose, you know, probably 40, 50 or 70 pounds a few times. You probably did too. I did it on Weight Watchers and a couple other things. Scarsdale Dyke. Do you remember that one? But I never kept it off. It always came back. That's why we had surgery. But guess what, my friend? We already had surgery. That's it. That's the big kahuna. So from this point on, yeah, we've got the tool, and it's an amazing tool. I never want to discount how important and how meaningful weight loss surgery is in my life. It's a tool, but you already know, especially if you're, you know, 2 years out from surgery, at least 2 years out, it's done its job. I mean, it continues to help you, but the majority of this now, it's like 80% you, 20% the surgery, where before it was almost like 80% the surgery, 20% you for a little while, right? So now it's up to you. It's up to intrinsic motivation, your motivation. What keeps you going? What are you going to do with those numbers once you have them? Again, picture that. You're handed that big check on Ellen. It's not just the numbers. It's, okay, now what does that mean for me? What does that mean for the people in my life, for my job, for my community, my family, how I live my daily life? What's going to be different? And then that's what you hold in your heart. That's what you hold in your mind when you are faced with the choices. When you're faced with the choice of, you know, am I going to go have pizza with everybody in the break room, or am I going to eat the chicken salad that I brought? Am I going to cancel on my friend because my walking buddy tonight, because I, you know, something, you know, there was a meeting that I didn't feel too good about at work? Or are you going to hold that intrinsic motivation of, no, I'm feeling too darn good, and my friend and I are planning that, you know, hiking weekend getaway. I'm going walking. And do you see how it is when you keep taking care of yourself? You can take better care of the people that you love because you have the physical energy, the emotional bandwidth to offer them yourself, right? Because you are at your healthiest in every way. So my friend, it's time to get clear and it's time to get going. I want to share this with you from the poem, The Summer Day by Mary Oliver. I don't know exactly what a prayer is. I do know how to pay attention, how to fall down into the grass, how to kneel in the grass, how to be idle and blessed, how to stroll through the fields, which is what I have been doing all day. Tell me, what else should I have done? Doesn't everything die at last and too soon? Tell me, what is it you plan to do with your one wild and precious life? Love, light, and grace to you.